I didn't know if they had something more or not. I was just about to ask the question. So, all right, if there are no other announcements, brother, how about our prelude? The call to worship this morning is from Psalm 13. And David writes, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, and lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, 'I have prevailed against him,' lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me." Lord, we have gathered together this morning in Jesus' name. We have come to worship, to adore, and to praise. We invite your Holy Spirit to be fully present with us here, to receive all that we have to offer of ourselves to you. And in our singing, and in our praying, in our speaking, and in our listening, be glorified, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our first hymn, it's number 458. If you're able, please stand. It's a joy to sometimes, when we don't think about it too much, offerings become routine. And we probably forgot about that during COVID. Because, you know, you do the same thing at the same time every Sunday for how many years? You know, how many of you do the same things at the same time at your house every day? Who gets up? Who is it that gets up and makes the coffee first at the same time? Who is it that, you know, does this or does that? And you can always predict that by 6:32, the coffee will be gurgling in the coffee maker. Or whatever time you choose, you know. And then COVID came, and we didn't take offerings anymore. And we put a little box in the back, which is kind of nice. But it's not also kind of what we're used to. And when things change, maybe we're not so comfortable about it. And we're happy to go back to something good and familiar. So this morning, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and I'm going to give them the offering plates. We're going to ask you to collect the offering, and then we'll have prayer for the offering after it's been collected. Shall we pray? Our blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, you pour out so many good things upon us. We can hardly count them all. Sometimes we can hardly remember them all. We're just, so much is poured upon us, and we are grateful. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can give out of the much that you have given us, this portion, return to you for the sake of your church, for the sake of your kingdom, and for the glory of your name. We ask that you would take these offerings and multiply them and bring you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've already started in our sharing of joys and concerns, remembering Brother Bob and Sister Linda. Who else and what else would you like to pray for today?
Keep Karen on the prayer list until she finds out her heart test results. And this coming Thursday, I'm getting surgery on my left eye and cataract surgery.
Okay. Where will that be done? Where will that be done?
Oh, where will it be done? Towson.
Okay, so you have to go down to Towson. All right. I assume they'll send you home.
I'm assuming.
Unless Ronnie tells him to keep her.
I did not say that, Your Majesty.
I saw that.
Let's be very careful that I did not say that. And she doesn't forget.
I know.
I saw another hand here. Guard the head.
It's just a joy that I have my bench filled with my family. Just wish my husband were here. The flowers that we forgot to announce earlier are in memory of our dear brother Ron. It would be his birthday tomorrow. And I just wanted to say that I forgot also to announce that we're going to revamp, Kelly's going to revamp the Sunshine Box, and once she has it redone, we are going to collect next for Linda. Okay? Okay, so we're done Francis now, and we're going to start collecting for Linda. Please keep Carl Keeney in your prayers. He is battling a form of cancer. Many of you know him in the community. So we'll keep him in our prayers.
We want to continue to pray for Sister Francis and Wanda and Tammy. I assume the word has gotten around because it's a small congregation, but if it has not, Francis is going to be going on hospice care as soon as they can settle where she's going to be. The doctors don't believe there's anything more that they can do for her at this time. So, those of us who've seen Sister Francis in the last week, as Sister Deb said, you know, the twinkle that was always in her eye is gone. You know, it's just, everything is a hard struggle for her right now. So we just want to pray for the entire family. Others?
Continue the Baker family, and Tammy's having trouble with gout.
I thought I saw Hitch in the get-along this morning. But.
No.
To add to that Baker family, I didn't announce last Sunday and I forgot, but I do want to keep them in prayer as well, because last Saturday we had a memorial service for Alan, and it was a nice turnout for the people that came. And so I just want to keep them in prayer, because it was very moving. Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to mention the ones that was not mentioned. The Lord knows who they are. I'm not going to try to name them because my memory doesn't hold up too well, and I'm frail from grit. Yeah. So the Lord knows who they are. We just want to keep them all in our prayers. And also we want to keep the world and the leader of this world in our prayers too, because we need peace, love, and harmony, and not war and hatred and that kind of stuff.
I want to keep Grace that was here last week. She will be flying back this week to Myrtle Beach, so I'd like to keep traveling mercies for her. Joy on that, we were able to at least celebrate her 8th birthday yesterday. So some of us got to be there. But just okay. Traveling mercies.
Also, it's a joy to see Bradley back.
He said he's still, he told me this morning he's still on the right side of the daisies. That is what you said, right? I didn't misunderstand. Okay, all right. He's not going to correct the preacher. Okay, all right. Now, there was another one that was in my mind, but you know, my mind is like a steel trap. It closes on thin air all the time. There's another prayer request, but it doesn't matter. It'll come to us later. Oh, yes, I know. Your brothers and sisters of the Church of the Brethren are gathering in Cincinnati right now. Annual conference starts today. It will probably be difficult. A difficult series of meetings. As you know, the Church of the Brethren is kind of unraveling around the edges for a number of different reasons, and this series of meetings may actually, unfortunately, accelerate that process. But you want to pray for your brothers and sisters as they're gathered to worship and to try to hear the Lord's guidance as they make decisions for the coming year or two as they're meeting in Cincinnati. If there are no more prayer requests, let's pray as we feel comfortable. Lord, this morning we come to you again in Jesus' name. You've invited us to come to you. You've said that your arms are wide open and we are to come into your presence boldly as children come into the presence of their Father. And we say to you, Father, Daddy, we come with these concerns, these joys, these worries. And we want to lay them before your feet because we know you're already working on them. but we want you to work out your will in a way that glorifies you the most. And Lord, we need to put our trust in you and to see your hand at work. We have seen you at work in the lives of others in the church this week as you've helped them through surgeries, through other medical procedures, through difficulties and through tears as they grieve. Lord, thank you for your comforting, your strengthening, and your healing power. We do pray for Sister Karen as she waits for the heart results, for Bob and Linda. Lord, bless them with their physical challenges. We pray, Lord, for Carl Keeney, for the Baker family. We pray for all who have been mentioned, for medical procedures, for anxieties, for fears. And we also pray for those that we may rejoice with those who rejoice. For Lord, you are at work in many different ways. Lord, you have told us to weep with those who weep, to rejoice with those who rejoice. And we stand with those, Lord, who have a need that have been spoken or even unspoken today. All these things we offer to you, our Lord, the one who taught us the perfect prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing number 450. Stand if you're able.
Just
The scripture text this morning is from the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall let your children know, saying, 'Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" How many different roads are there from Rocky Ridge or this part of Maryland to get to Gettysburg? See, there's 134, which goes from Tawnytown to Gettysburg, right? There's Route 15. Any others? 97. If you look along the side of the roads, the closer you get to Gettysburg, what do you see besides tourists? Monuments. What are the monuments there for? The Civil War. Remembrance of our history. Remembrance of those who fell on both sides. How many different monuments are there outside of Gettysburg? Or in Gettysburg. How many of there are around the community of Gettysburg?
Can I Google
that? Well, you better hurry up. A lot, right? There are cavalry monuments. There are infantry monuments. There are generals on horseback. There are cannons. There's all kinds of different things, right? There are plaques on the walls of buildings. There are tours that you can take and guides who will tell you this happened here and that happened there and the other happened over there. Why did they build them? Why did they build them?
Remembrance of those that have passed on.
So that those who came behind would not forget. So that those who came in future generations would not forget. So let's see. Today is 2023. The American Civil War ended in 1865. So it's roughly 160 to 165 years ago. Do people know as much about the American Civil War as they once did? Do our schools teach our children the meaning of what happened there? So there are generations, perhaps your grandchildren, like mine, who don't know what these stones mean. Because the stones by themselves mean nothing, but they are a reminder of the truth that lies behind it. That's what happened, that was happening here in the book of Joshua. They had crossed over the Jordan River into the land of promise, into Canaan, and they had walked over dry-footed. God had stopped the flow of the river, and before they crossed the river, God had told Joshua, "Listen, once everybody's over there, I want you to pick 12 strong dudes. Dudes was not in the Bible, but you get the idea. 12 strong men. And I want you to send those 12 men out into the middle of the river bed, the river bed, which is dry. And I want you to have them each find the biggest, flattest stone they could carry and bring it to where we are on the western shore of the Jordan. And Joshua said, anything you say, Lord, happy to do it. So after everybody crossed over and they were outside this little place called Gilgal, Joshua says, now we're going to take these 12 stones, one for each tribe, and we're going to build a monument. We're going to build something that's going to stand there for as long as anything lasts. And it's going to be a memorial because this was the spot where God fulfilled his promise, and now we're in the land of promise. And in a generation or two or three, when your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren or your great-great-grandchildren want to know, Grandpa, what's that pile of rocks over there for? Grandpa will be able to say, well, sonny, it's like this. That's where God dried up the river and fulfilled his promise, because we were able to come into the land of promise where we are now. And it's there so that you don't forget, and so that you can tell your grandchildren what God did. It's a marker, a remembrance forever, as long as stones will stand. It's a reminder that God is the King, and that he's all powerful, and that he keeps his promises. So, what on earth, you're saying, does this have to do on July 2nd with the sermon? I want you to think for a moment. And then I want you to speak out loud. Don't raise your hands. Just say them out loud as you think of them. What are some of the monuments at Monocacy Church of the Brethren that remind you of the past and what God has done?
Cornerstone.
Cornerstone?
Tombstones.
Tombstones?
The tree that's planted out there in memory of Pauline.
Thank you. Now we're getting somewhere. The very building itself, how long has this building stood here?
1853.
So if it's since 1853, that's how many years? That's real quick. I'm not a math major. I'm a Bible major. Ask Sister Carol. That's a few years.
170.
A lot of things have happened in here in 170 years, haven't they? How many souls have given their lives to Christ? How many children have heard the gospel? How many people have sung? How many people have prayed? What has God done in Rocky Ridge with the church that's here? What is God continuing to do in Rocky Ridge? Because you see, monuments remember the past, but a monument remembers the present as well. Church is not a museum. You look at me like, why do you say that, Pastor Ed? Because museums cover things that are past and dead. Rocky Ridge Church, Monocacy Church of the Brethren, is not dead yet.
Amen.
Not by a long shot. But we pay respect to those who have gone before. In my hometown, in Boyertown, Pennsylvania. In the center of town is Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church. Of course, none of you have ever heard of a Lutheran church before. Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church has been a part of the life of my hometown, I think, probably for a good 240 years. I've walked in that cemetery, and there are headstones that go back well over 200 years. I don't know who the oldest is here. I didn't walk in the cemetery this week. But there are a few, I imagine, that have been here quite a while, if not 200 years. Their presence is a reminder to us of faithful living, of faithful obedience, and an example to us. How many of you can name three people who are buried out there that aren't family? So, they are bearing witness still. They are bearing witness still. Though they sleep until the Lord returns. So, if that's the case, if the stones are still speaking, what are they telling us today? And what are we telling others today? Not a museum, a living church. People in the past have been examples to us. Are we being examples today? Ooh, I'm not so sure I like you asking that question, Pastor Ed. All's going really well. It's been a pretty good sermon, and then you go and make me look at myself. Not so sure I like that question. But how is our generation now? How are we remembering God's leading and his power among us? Because he hasn't stopped working. I'm going to say this to you, and you're going to hear me say it many times as long as I serve you as pastor. Nobody retires as a Christian. Nobody retires as a Christian. You don't get to say, all right, Lord, I've reached 72. It's time for you to give me my heavenly social security. I'd like mine the 15th of every month, and I'd like it to be direct deposited. Thank you very much. It doesn't work that way. You got to keep working. You got to keep working. We keep praying. We keep trusting. We keep obeying. That's right, we keep serving. As long as we can. As long as we can. Now, what new monuments do we want to build? What new monuments do we want to build? Because after all, we have to leave a memorial behind for whoever comes behind us, right? How will they know? The fifth generation after the crossing of the Jordan wouldn't have known a thing if it hadn't been for the memorial stones at Gilgal. Who is going to learn from us? What memorial are we going to put up for them? And all of a sudden, I see your faces get real thoughtful. Good. That's a good thing. Somehow, I don't think it needs to be a steeple. Somehow, I don't think it needs to be lines painted on the parking lot. Because they'll fade in 10 years anyway. But what kind of memorial are we building? And I don't mean one that's made out of stone or concrete. What is it that we're building in Rocky Ridge that will bless and strengthen and help the people that we live among, as well as glorify the God that we serve. Now your faces go, okay. What could it be? Are you going to preach a sermon for me or what? I didn't send you a copy of the outline. Yes, we're going to build a monument of prayer. But I want you to think about, what is it you want to leave behind to the succeeding generation? And I can hear somebody in this room saying inside their head, what succeeding generation? We hardly have any kids here. Okay. I'm going to quote Jesus. Imagine that, a preacher quoting Jesus. When Jesus was making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and the Pharisees said, bid your disciples be quiet, because they're calling you King of Israel, and they're shouting Hosanna and everything else. And Jesus turned to them and said, guys, if I told them to be quiet, the very stones would shout. So what stones that will shout are we putting together? And you know what? I'm not going to tell you.
That's not fair.
Because it may not be fair. But it has to be something that we, as God's family, in this place and time, decide together. There are many churches that were built as grandiose monuments to the ideas that preachers have had over the years. In the town where my parents lived until their deaths, there was a church that had a very well-educated and a very charismatic preacher. And his church began to grow exponentially. This is in the 70s and 80s. And they built this gigantic facility that would hold 1,500 people, which for that town, 1,500 was a lot of people. And today, it's empty. If it hasn't been demolished. I haven't been on that highway for quite a number of years. The last time I was in there was a congregation of there that had once had multiple services where people sat 1,000 at a time. And the last time I heard anything about it, 50 people met Sunday mornings and tried to pay the heating and the air conditioning bill. Monuments to humans will fade. Monuments to God will never fade. Monuments to God's faithfulness will never fade. So what do we want to build in Rocky Ridge that 5 generations from now, if Jesus tarries, people say, oh, look, this is what God did here and what God is continuing to do here. I told you I wouldn't answer you, and I was told that was not fair. But I'll say this. As you're thinking about this, what deep waters has God led you through recently? What deep waters has He led you through? They crossed a river that the scripture tells us was at flood stage. And the Israelites and Joshua came to the edges of Jordan at flood stage. And the Lord said, just everybody line up, because I'm going to stop the river and you're going to cross dry footed. And what happened? They crossed dry footed. How has God led you through deep waters? What tests have you been victorious over? Some medical, some emotional, some personal. What blessings have come your way? Now, I want you to imagine you're in your yard. You are in your yard. Everybody has a yard at home, right? Okay. I don't want to leave out anybody who has an apartment and maybe doesn't have access to a yard. But you know, you have a space, a small green space or something like that. And you have an unlimited supply of very expensive building materials. You have marble. You have redwood. You have whatever you want. What monument are you going to build to God? I don't care about your skills. This is between you and God. You're not seeing it. Only God is seeing it. If you built a monument to his power and faithfulness, would it be big or would it be small? Would it reflect lots of thankfulness or very little thankfulness? I'm not going to give you the answer. But I will give you a suggestion. Not just Tuesday, when we remember the blessings of God permitting us to live in the United States of America. And believe me, you don't want to live anywhere else if you can choose it. This is for all of our flaws, because all of us are human and we have flaws. This is still the best place to live. And I say that based on a very small sample base, because the only two countries I've been in besides the U.S. is Canada and Israel. And you couldn't get me to trade living in either one of them for living in the U.S., even with all of our current problems. But as we're thanking God for our independence, for liberty, for the forethought of the fathers of our independence, let us remember to be thankful and to remember our God for what he has done. That you get to live here. That you get to worship here. And that you get to serve him here. Each one of us can rattle off complaints. How many people here ever complain? Don't raise your hand. It's all too easy to find flaws. It's harder to remember the goodness that God pours out upon us. Now, what you're going to build here, I'll give you a hint.
Thank you.
Starts today, and you do a little bit every day. You've already been building a building. Every one of you has been building a building, a faithfulness and a monument to God every single day in your lives. Your neighbors see it all the time. Your neighbors see how you live. Your neighbors see how you react to adversity and to blessing. You're already in the construction business. You're already building that monument. Build it well. Let's pray. Lord, I feel this morning like we've kind of been all over the place in this sermon, and I pray that your Spirit uses it in a way that you intended. Because, Lord, we do want to be wise, good builders. Not with wood, hay, or stubble, but with marble and the best of materials. We want it to last, to be a testimony to your faithfulness and your goodness through our lives, and so that lives and generations after ours can see it and give you glory. 4th of July reminds us, with all these monuments that we see around us, Help us to say on the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th of July, and the 15th of October, and the 20th of December, and all the other days. We are here to give you glory, and we build a monument to your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for speaking so plainly to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able, please stand and we'll sing number 497. Sort of interesting that we chose that for our closing song for today. This week, our niece, who lo those many years ago was the flower girl at our wedding, said, I want you to send me some pictures from your wedding. I want you to put them in the scanner and send me some pictures from your wedding. And my wife said, do we know where the wedding album is? I said, yeah, I do know where it is, yes. And I got it out, and we were looking at it, and who are those two incredibly young-looking people? The one in a white dress and the other guy, the guy in a hideous white tuxedo. How is that possible? Is it possible that we were once that young? And we looked at the pictures in there, and of the people that we know and that we knew, and the pictures that were of family and those who have gone before now, who await us there. And I think the sweet by and by, it really is going to be sweet. It really is. It really is. And when we get out the albums and we look at it, we can remember who we're looking forward to seeing, if they've slipped our minds, because it sure will be good to see them again. Lord, we pray now as we are about to depart today from worship. We do not go without you present, for you go with us wherever we go. And we are available to be used. We are in your hand, no matter where we are or what we do. This week, be pleased to help us to remember those who have blessed us in the past. Let their memories be sweet to us. And help us, Lord, to be mindful of the monument of the memories that we are creating that will point to you for the generations to come. We ask this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus, our friend and our Savior. And now may grace and mercy and peace from God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit be with you now and every day. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.